Well, turn with me, if you will, if you have your Bibles in front of you, or if you have a Bible around you, turn with me to Judges chapter 13, because I want us to talk today, as we are still in the belong section right here, of what it means to belong in our relationship with Jesus Christ. I want us to talk today on how God produces blessings and how God works a miracle in and through your life. What is it that triggers God to respond graciously to you and I? Maybe you're discouraged and you've accepted things the way they are. Maybe you've accepted things the way they've been for such a long time in your life that you can't imagine that there'd be anything other than the relationship you have in your marriage. You can't believe that there'd be anything other than the career path you're going on, the financial direction you're going on. You can't imagine that your kids or your grandkids would transition to anything other than they are. You can't expect that there'd be anything more than you're currently experiencing in your life. It's interesting. There's a guy about your age in Judges chapter 13 named Samson, who gave away something very precious. And he thought to himself when he gave it away, listen, I guess this is how life will always be. I guess this is how life is always going to be with my life. And he wondered if things would ever change. And he wondered whether life would ever go back to the way they thought that they had. But he thought to himself, listen, this is probably never going to take place. He didn't start off that way. He was a pretty strong guy. Samson was the strongest man in the world. He was a combination of UFC and WWF. I mean, he was so strong that one day his parents were resting and he went down this trail and he saw this lion. The lion charged him and tried to kill him, and he took the lion by himself with just his bare hands and he killed the lion. Another time I saw that there were some giant iron gates, hundreds of pounds worth of iron gates were on the gates to the city, and he just lifted them off and threw them to the side just because. He was so strong. Another time, he was so irritated with the foxes that were in the area, and at one point he grabbed 300 foxes, and he tied them together with their tails. 300 foxes. Do you know how tough it is to catch a fox? Now, some of you single guys are going, tell me about it. But anyway, I mean, it's tough. And 300 foxes, and he tied them together right there just because one day, to revenge the death of his wife, he killed 1,000 men with just a jawbone. This guy was smart, but he had made a vow. He was a Nazirite, and a Nazirite had three different vows. One was not to drink wine. The second vow was not to touch anything dead. The third vow was so important to his life that was to never cut his hair. In fact, it was in the hair that, you say, Bruce, what was about cutting the hair? It was this sign when people saw him. It was a sign that he was a Nazirite. It was a sign that he'd never cut his hair. It was a sign that he had given himself completely under the covenant blessings and the authority of God, that he was trusting in nothing else. And for Samson, it was the call of God for his life to be obedient in these three things. And when he was, there was a blessing. When he got under the covenant blessings of God for his life, you can't imagine what would take place. And there followed Samson all the days of his life, the blessings of God, as long as he followed exactly what God had invited him to be a part of. In Judges 13:4, I want you to see for yourself right here. See, it says, for he will be dedicated to God as a Nazirite from birth. He will begin to rescue Israel from the Philistines. You see, that was the quest of God for his life. He was to be able to deliver an entire nation from the evilness and the vileness of another nation that was trying to kill them. And as long as he was under the covenant blessings of God, as long as he followed exactly what God had intended for him to do, there was a blessing that came into his life. And the hair was a sign that God owned everything in his life. The hair was a sign that he had the X factor on his life, that he had the it on his life, that he had the blessings of God on his life. And the problem, though, was this. He started breaking those vows in secret. And like for so many of us, what we break in secret eventually tends to come out in public. Have you ever known that to be true? I've seen it in my own life right there. What I start folding on, what I start running from in secret, what I start being not so careful with in secret many times in public starts revealing itself in my life or maybe even the lives of other people that I'm responsible for. And as a result, what happens here is he's not so careful, and he the Philistines send him a Philistine woman because he was pretty good looking, and this woman was pretty good looking. And she says to Samson, hey, what's the source of your strength? What's the source of your power? And he fools her. He tries to trick her. And he says at first, he goes, listen, if you were to take 7 bowstrings and tie me up, I'd be powerless. And so one night while he's asleep, she ties him up with 7 bowstrings. And then she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he wakes up and he just pops the bowstrings like they're paper mache, like they're nothing, right? He just pops them up. And then she starts crying. Sammy, you lied to me. Now, he's so stupid. He's strong, but he's so stupid that he doesn't get it, that this woman's trying to set him up. And then another day, the same thing happens right there. He says, what's the source of your power? And she says, it takes 7 green ropes. If you tie me up with 7 green ropes, I'm powerless. All my strength has failed. And so one night she does that, and the same thing happens. Another time, she asks him, what's the source of your power? He goes, listen, if you take my hair in sections and weave them into a loom, then I'm powerless. Same thing happens. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he blows through those guys like they're not even standing there. And then she cries a little bit more. And then one day she says, listen, you've lied to me. You've cheated me. And he goes, what is the secret? And he goes, I'll tell you the secret. He says, the secret of my strength, the secret of the blessings of God on my life is because there's something that I've done. There's a vow that I've done, and I'm a Nazarite, and I'm a Nazarite, and I will not drink wine to my lips. I will not touch anything dead. And he says, more importantly than anything, he goes, I have never cut my hair. That is why it is the way it is. I will not cut my hair. And if I were to cut my hair, then I would to move out from under the covenant blessings of God. I would to move my life into a cursed life. I would move my life out from under the blessings and the authority of God himself. And so you know what happens. I mean, you whether you read the story or not, you know what happens, because she cuts his hair, and in a time when he's asleep, she says, the Philistines are upon you, and you can see Samson now, he's not strong. They have blinded him. You can see Samson now, he is absolutely a shell of what he used to be. And you can watch Samson as he's going around this mill right here, this grist mill, as he's walking it over and over and over and again. And the principle here is this, is he took out from under the covenant authority of God what was not his to take. And with that, he brought a curse upon his life. And with that, he broke the covenant. And now he is walking in circles, wondering if he'll ever get back to where he was, wondering if he could ever finalize the plans that God had for his life. And I want you to see in Judges 16, verse 22 and 28, but before long, his hair began to grow back. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me just one more time. Notice what it says, before long. God, this is not an easy decision. Before long, God, I notice that if I start praying right now, God, there may be a time that you could maybe bring back what seems impossible to bring back. And he says, Sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me just one more time. And what he does is so essential and so important, because he starts, listen to this, it's so important for your life and my life too. He places the one thing that God says he would bless, he places back under the authority of God, and his hair starts growing, and he starts saying, God, I know nothing can ever take place unless sovereignly you act upon it, unless You bring back the blessings that I thought can never take place in my life. Now, I want you to turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. Because for Samson, it was a Nazirite vow. It was his hair. But in Malachi chapter 3, there's something that God says that if you do this one thing, I'll bring back, if you bring back this one area back under the covenant blessings of God himself, I'll bring back to you an enormous blessing from me directly to you. In fact, God says, listen, I alone will be responsible to do this. I will not delegate this to anybody else. He says, I alone will be responsible to bring my blessings back to you, and I alone will be responsible to remove the curse. God doesn't say he's going to curse you. He just says when you live life out from under his blessings, you remove yourself. What happens? You expose yourself to the curse that's going to happen to your life. I want you to see in Malachi chapter 3 what takes place right here. Malachi chapter 3, this is how you bring it. It says, return to me. And for some of us, we said, God, how can I return to you? Says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? And then he says, this is how you can return. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me by the what you say. How have we robbed you, we ask. And God says, in your tithes and contributions, he says, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I now open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. So they asked God a question. They said, God, how could we rob you? God, how could we rip you off? Nobody can take advantage of you, God. I want you to follow me with this. He says, how you rob me is not that you can take advantage of me. How you rob me, God says, is that you tie my hands from being able to bring blessings upon your life and to being able to remove the curse that is from your life by you withholding the tithe from me. You see, the tithe in the Bible is a tenth. It was a tenth because it was always used that way. It was a tenth of everything that I had been given, a tenth of all my increase. It also was used as the word test. And so when you see somebody bringing the tithe, it was somebody that was passing the test. It was a test to see whether I could be faithful with what God entrusted me. It was a test to see if I could be faithful with more than God had entrusted me. It was a test to see if God could give me more. And so it was always a tenth of everything I owned, and it was always a test. And it was a test to see whether I could be obedient to what God had graciously given to me. And he says to these people, and he says to you and I, listen, I want you to return to me. I want you to bring back under my authority, under my scope, what you have taken away. And with that comes the blessings of God, and with that removes the curse that comes with living life on my own. You see, if I'm tithing, I'm blessed. If I'm not, I'm cursed. He says, listen, I don't bring a curse on your life, but I am removing the curse that this places on your life. And God says, listen, when you do this, it redeems the rest of your finances. It brings blessings to the rest of your finances. So tithing is a test. Every time that I get paid, it is a test to see if I can be trusted with what God has given me. Every time I get paid, it is a test to see if God can give me more. I want you to see how important tithing is in the Bible. Because the number 10, or tenth, is all through the scriptures. I want you to follow with me. In fact, I'm gonna give you the first answer right here. I want you to see this. Because you see, the number 10 in the Bible represents testing in the Bible, represents 10. Let me give you a test, okay? How many plagues... And by the way, some of y'all are real new in your spiritual journey, so you just follow along with some of the other people that have been here for a couple more months than maybe you have. How many plagues did God bring to Egypt? Okay, let's say that out loud. How many plagues did God bring to Egypt? Okay, 10. Okay, I want you to say it out loud. How many commandments are there? Okay? How many times did God test Israel in the wilderness? Okay? How many times was Daniel tested? Okay? How many times in days of testing are there in Revelation? Okay? How many disciples were there? Now, that was a test, you see. So that was a test. There were 12. See, God's testing our hearts. In fact, in Malachi chapter 3, it says it's the only place in the scripture where God says, listen, this is a test. But God says, listen, I'm open for you testing me. Oh, really, God? See, when we bring back under the authority of God the tithe, the tenth, and we pass the test, it brings with it, it removes us out of the curse and it redeems the rest. It removes the curse that's placed on our finances and it brings back the blessings of God over our lives. And so the first belongs to God. In fact, we find the scripture all over and over and over in the scripture. In Exodus 13, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn. In fact, that's why God gave his son Jesus, because he was the firstborn. In fact, if some of you Bible scholars might be saying, well, listen, Bruce, this is the law. See, this is the law. Didn't God break the law? You know what's interesting? You see, Abraham, even before the law began, hundreds of years before the law was even established, Abraham actually gave a tithe to Melchizedek. So it precedes the law. It is the law. But then guess what? In Matthew 23:23, Jesus himself says you need a tithe. And he says, listen, it is a blessing to be able to do this. But he says, listen, the tithe is just a start. You and I give graciously now to God, but it starts with the tithe. And so Jesus is God's tithe. God brought Jesus in faith to us. That's why the Bible calls it bringing, not giving. Suppose I loan you my car. Now, Liddell, stand up right here with me if you would. Liddell, suppose I bring you my car. I'm going to be out of town. Maybe check in on our missions that we're doing in Haiti. And you said, man, my car's in the shop. I said, listen, just use mine. Use my Yukon. And so I clean it up. I bring him my Yukon. And I fill it up with gas. And I give him the keys. And I said, man, I want you to do with it whatever you want to do. And so he uses it the whole week. And then at the end of the week, I get back from Haiti. And he gets his car back. And he says, I got a gift for you, Pastor. So what is it? And he brings me some keys. He goes, I'm going to give you this white Yukon 2001. Aren't you excited? I look in there. His kids are like my little girl. There's French fries smashed all in the carpet right there. There's no gas in the tank. And he says, man, aren't you excited what I gave you? Now, he can't give me what's not his, can he? All he can do is bring me back. And so I'd say, man, thank you for bringing it back to me. But I can't thank him for the gift because he's not really giving me anything because it wasn't his to start with. Does that make sense? And so thank you, buddy. So here's the deal. God gives you 100% in his son, Jesus Christ. He didn't withhold anything. In fact, God gives you 100% your finances. He could have taken his cut first. You could be making 10% less than you're currently making. And people could just live life going, man, you know, I always thought I'd make more, and it seemed like I always make a little bit less than I thought I was. It could have been because God could have taken his cut first. But he doesn't. He gives us 100%. Because he wants to test us to see if we can be faithful, not in giving him anything, because to give him anything would be to assume that we created it, that we came up with it, but to only bring back to him a small portion of what he has graciously given us. If that makes sense, say, uh-huh. You see, we don't give God anything. All we're doing is bringing back to him what he has given to us. And every time I get paid, it's a test to see if I am going to put God first in my life. It's a test to see whether I feel like I own things or I'm a steward of things. Listen, I'd be a sorry pastor if I didn't walk you through this right here. If I had the cure of cancer and kept it to myself, I'd be a sorry man if you or any family or friend was going through cancer. And listen, I'd be a sorry pastor if I didn't walk you through this, because Jesus talked about giving and money and finances over 25% of the time. And if I don't help you through this, you'll always be under the curse. You'll always be under the struggle. Some of you might say, Bruce, I know somebody, and they don't follow this at all. They go to such and such church, or maybe they come to our church or one of our services, and all they do is tip God. I know. And they're not cursed, trust me. Can I share something with you? There is always a story behind every story. And the story I have found behind every single story is that when people rip God off in this area, when people try to hold the hands of God and keep God from being able to bless them, in some area of their life it is cursed. They just know how to cover up the curse pretty good. And so they cover up what's really of major concern in their life. They cover up what's really cursed in their life. It may not be financial. It may be in things that surpass money. It may be in the family. It may be in their marriage. It may be in their relationships. It may be in something within the core of their life that they are in the crucible of pain about, but they're not going to tell you. They're not going to let anybody else know because they don't want anybody to know that they're cursed. I met with this very wealthy man the other day, and his life is cursed. And everything about him seemed like his life's blessed. Everything looks like everything's going with his life, but his life, on the inside, behind anybody's purview, behind anybody's insight, there is a curse on this guy's life. There is pain on this guy's life, and it's because he's lived a stingy life, because he has not lived a generous life, and because he thinks he came up with it all, because he thinks he owns it all. And so in Malachi chapter 3, he says, listen, I want you to bring the tithes. Don't notice the blessings that comes. In Malachi 3:10, he says, bring for the full tithe, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven. That means God himself is going to be responsible for taking care of your needs. Then he says, and I'll pour out a blessing to you. It's specific just to you. Until there is no more need. That means God likes to outdo himself. God's dream for you is bigger than your dream for you. Then he says, I'll rebuke the devourer. He says, I will remove the curse. Then he says, the nations will call you blessed. Suppose I am going to go on a trip for a month. And Heather and Gwen are going to be here. And I say, Barry, would you stand up real quick? I say, Barry, stand up right there. I say, and Brian, stand up there with me. And Reggie, stand up right here. You three guys right here. So I say, listen, I'm going to give you $1,000 each while I'm out of town. And I want you to give $100 of that $1,000 to take care of Heather and Gwen. You say, Barry, you say, Bruce, what do I do with the other $900? That's the great thing about the whole deal here, is for being a steward for me and taking care of them, my wife, my little girl, I'm going to let you keep the $900, and all you have to do is transfer $100 to them. Now, how many of y'all think, by the way, that's a pretty good deal right there? Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm going to give you $1,000. You keep $900. You give $100. I'm going to give Brian $1,000. You keep $900. You give $100 to Heather and to Gwen. And then, Reggie, I'm going to ask you to do the exact same thing. I'm going to give you 1,000, you can keep 900, and you're going to tithe, you're going to give 10% to them. Now, do any of y'all right now, just so I know, feel ripped off that I'm giving you $900 per month to transfer resources to who I want you to give the resources to? Do y'all feel ripped off, by the way? Do y'all feel taken advantage of? Okay. Now, here's the deal. Suppose I call Heather at the end of the month, say, honey, I'm going to be gone another month. I'm going to come in town, but I just want to ask you, as when I come in town, I want to see, how are my stewards doing? Because, you know, Barry's doing phenomenal. You gave him that money the first of the month. He took the $900. He brought the $100 over. He cashed it for us, brought it over, and his wife baked a cake too. They're doing great for us. Brian, he did even better than that. He only kept $800 of the $1,000, and he brought us $200. And I said, now how's my buddy Reggie doing? Well, Reggie, you know, he didn't give us anything on the first of the month, and then he slipped me 20 at church the other day. Now, anybody knows Reggie knows he wouldn't do that. Reggie would be inversing that. But just suppose Reggie be keeping the 100 and giving the 900. I mean, that's how he is. But here's the deal. Just suppose that happened. Don't you think I'd cut Reggie off and get somebody else? Or suppose it was Barry that did that. Don't you think I'd cut Barry off and give it to somebody else? Or suppose it was Brian. If Brian did that, don't you think I'd cut Brian off? If he did that, you know why? Because it's personal. Because it's very personal. Because when it's all said and done, watch this. Because when it's all said and done, God gave me 100% of everything in His Son Jesus Christ. He didn't withhold anything from me. And He says, listen, I've given you 100% and it's a test. And when you and I don't flow through our finances back to what He calls His bride, the church of Christ is called the bride of Christ. So you want to know why Malachi 3 is real strong on this? You want to know why Jesus talked about it 25% of the time? Because it is His bride. It is His love. The church is His love. It's His bride. It is personal. Does that make sense? No? Let me talk in about 40 minutes some more. Okay, here we go. No, it's personal. Thank you guys, by the way. Give them applause right there. Thank you guys. So here's the deal. It's personal because it's His bride. See, nobody would do that and ever rip off your wife and your kids without you saying something, without you doing something, without you pulling the plug on their lives. And He says, that's what I'm telling you right now. He says, it's personal. He goes, this is how you give. This is what you're to be about. He goes, it is a step of faith. It is a test of faith. In fact, in Proverbs 3, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Tithing to the Lord's house, as the passage suggests, involves honoring the Lord with all our possessions. And every single time you do it, it is a step of faith. It is a test to see whether or not we can be entrusted with what we have and whether we can be entrusted with more. And so I want to encourage you to do something starting today. Now, starting next week, we're taking a 90-day tithe challenge. That's what we're doing. A 90-day tithe challenge. And the 90-day tithe challenge goes like this. For 90 days, I will commit to putting God first with my finances. Now, by the way, it's going to be a test. It's going to be a faith test. It's always going to be difficult. It's never easy to be able to do this. That's why it's a test. The scripture teaches us it is a test. And when you and I do that, when we take this step of faith, when we do that, something absolutely radical, amazing happens, is God's blessings come when we are faithful with the test. And so for 90 days, I want to encourage you to pass the test. Every time you get paid, you can take an envelope. You can go online to ChristFellowshipTampa.com and pay online there. You can take an envelope here and write a check or cash. So suppose you make $100 a week. Then that means that you would, the tithe of that would be how much? Would be $10. Suppose you make $1,000 a week. The tithe of that is what? $100. Suppose you make $2,000 a week. The tithe on that is what? Okay. You say, Bruce, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, Bruce, do you want me to tithe on the gross or on the net? So that's how some of you are thinking right there. I know you. You're like me. You're gross or net. The answer is, which one do you want God to bless? Do you want the gross or you want the net to be blessed? It's your pick. It's your choice. But here's the deal. It is a test, and it will require faith, and you will be tested during the test to see if you will be faithful to what God has entrusted you. So starting next Sunday, we'll have a commitment card next week. By the way, nobody's going to call you if you don't do it. But it is a test that basically say, listen, I am going to trust God with the tithe for the next 90 days, and I'm going to test God. He invites us to do this. He says, test me now in this. I'm going to test God, and if you do this, he says, see if I personally won't take responsibility for blessing your life. And by the way, if over the next 90 days you don't see that happening, then it's a money-back guarantee. We'll just give it back to you, the whole thing. Everything that you've given to the church here, if you do not see the blessings of God in the middle of the test right there, at the end of the 90 days, we'll give you a couple more days to be able to make sure that that happens. But if you don't see that, then guess what we'll do? We will just bring that back to you. By the way, I've never had anybody ever take me up on that, because every single person that's ever done that has seen the blessings of God for their life. Amen? Amen.